Lord, may the meditation of my heart and my words be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. As I kind of described to the kids, we might all know of someone that is maybe a bit full of themselves, has a bit of an ego. And I think oftentimes in our culture, it kind of portrays itself similar to those scribes, guys that are kind of flaunting their money, showboating what they have in life, and always focused on identifying themselves based off of their wealth or their possessions, or maybe even just generally trying to show off, and they just like being in the spotlight. And we see that quite often. And you know, these scribes, they, above anyone else, enjoyed these lives of this rich authority and this rich showboating, and they liked their garments. They liked going around and greeting people and showing off their status to everyone else. They had their fancy robes that probably went all the way down to the feet, because that was a big deal then, to have a nice long robe that covered everything. But they were going around, and the one thing that they clearly lacked was humility. And they enjoyed these lofty positions so much that they lost sight of the greater point of Scripture, because as the scribes, their whole purpose was to go out and teach the people the word of God, so that the word of God was on their lips, that the name of God was on their lips, but instead, they now have put their names on the lips of men instead of God's, because they just want to show off what they have. And I think, if I think of a very specific example in our times, there's a pretty well-known actor that I think a lot of you guys might have actually grown up watching. He was known to be pretty early on in Saturday Night Live, and he also is known for those family vacation movies, only two of which are really pretty good. Chevy Chase was a pretty egotistical guy, and he still is. I don't know if you guys know about how nasty he is, but the reason you don't see him around in the public anymore or that he has any movies is that people can't stand to work with the guy. He's kind of a pain. He would go around the set at SNL, and he's so famous for being there, but he's not allowed back. He can't host the show anymore because they can't stand working with him, because he was such a nasty guy to the people on the set that they said, we're done with you. We can't put up with you. The directors don't even want him back. And so he kind of forgot that in all this, that he lacked humility. He lacked all these things. And I've even heard stories of him going out in public to a restaurant, and he thinks that he is just royalty. And he expects everybody there should just wait on him the whole time. And these are the types of people that Jesus is warning about. That these guys that use their places of authority and their fame and wealth and lack humility, they're all in it for themselves. And I don't think he was a great example of what it means to be humble. And so those who we hold in high status in society also have the places of honor, typically. You know, a lot of people really liked Chevy Chase, and they really liked him because of how funny he was, but then once all these things came out, he kind of fell apart, and he doesn't really get much spotlight anymore. He's still fine in life, but he still thinks he's God's great gift to earth. He's the greatest gift to earth. But I think some of these are certainly seen in religious figures too. You know, how many times, if we maybe turn on the TV to like the televangelist especially, some of these guys are fine, and they're all right, and they actually want to preach the word of God. But these religious figures that are on, you can kind of see it in how they act. They lavish themselves with great things. They build up their name. They build up a company for themselves, and they build up this overwhelming background of wealth and fame. And that is how they use it to show that God has their favor. And that's exactly what the scribes did, is that the scribes thought that God's favor was clearly given to them because they just had a bunch of stuff. And you see this with some of these televangelists, and this is the type of people that Jesus described as devouring the widows' houses. These televangelists, you can see it in their preaching, the way they say health, wealth, and family. If you got that, Jesus loves you, you're all set. But see, they forget that actually Jesus ultimately came for all people in all places and all parts of life. It's not about what you have this side of earth. It's not about those earthly blessings. But it was really about Christ coming to us in human form and dying for us. And, I mean, Jesus is the greatest example of giving up all wealth and honor and majesty, because he's God in the flesh, and he put that aside to become a a mere man. I think that shows us something. The place of honor actually belongs to God alone. And that's what most of these people are missing. So all those earthly blessings, they're well and good. And wealth is not the problem here, folks. It's not that Jesus is going, can't have money. But it's the fact that they're using these God-given blessings, these God-given gifts, to build their own name up instead of pointing back to Jesus. And so they misused those gifts by neglecting the people that they were so humbly supposed to serve there, and to put the name of God out to the world and put it on their lips, but instead now their own name is being spread about as, oh, did you see such and such scribe? He had that giant, giant sack of money. They forgot it. And you know, I think a professor of mine nailed it on some of these things. He said this, or something along the lines, great people have greater temptations and fall to greater sins. And by great, he's not meaning that the scribes are somehow better than us. He's meaning that since they have such authority, such fame, such kind of a spotlight in society, and all this money, they have far greater temptations than what kind of the average person deals with, and that's exactly what they fall victim to. They let all this go to their head, they let it all kind of break them down, whittle them down, and now they just only care about building up their name. And the scribes had this great authority, but they fell victim to that temptation. And then it neglects their faith in God and also the faith of the people around them. And now, like I said, maybe we don't have that same temptation as great people, as that one professor of mine said. But I think we do sometimes have a tendency to rank people socially about their status. We'll rank people's status based off of how they've made it in life, if they have a lot of things, if they don't have to worry about what's going on. And so in society, we judge someone's status by their things a lot of times. And you see that especially in Hollywood. I mean, everybody's trying to one-up themselves with if they can have 10 mansions versus 20, whatever it is that they do. So we tend to view each other based off of those things. And so a status based upon personal success and a position in life can become the goal of those God-given gifts instead of building up God's name, and then we just build up our own. So we become reliant upon these gifts as a way to judge if we've made it in life, and that includes the wealth that these scribes are flaunting so obviously. But notice that I'm calling them gifts, which means there's something that we can do with them. And since there are the great blessings from God, these blessings can then be used to serve our neighbor and care for others. And in doing so, and when we use them in humility like we're supposed to, it actually takes ourselves out of the mix. We stop relying upon those God-given gifts in this side of eternity, and we actually focus upon just the care and love of others. And then those God-given gifts can then take our name out of the mix entirely. And then it focuses upon what God gave us to do, the work that he has given us to do. And this is what the scribes had missed, is that Jesus had emphasized in this text next. And I think that there's something that makes us a bit uncomfortable about what he says about the scribes. So he says, they will receive the greater condemnation. But what does that mean? It kind of doesn't sound great, obviously. But is their sin unforgivable? What is he meaning by that? And of course, I'm Lutheran. I'm not going to tell you his sins are unforgivable. But what he's saying is that this greater condemnation is that they've had this great authority, this great wealth and honor that they now love so much, and instead of using it rightly, and their job was to point people to Jesus, and focusing upon themselves so much, they are now, in some ways, starting to lose their faith. And so the greater condemnation is not this specific sin, but it's that any sin left unchecked leads to a lack of faith, and it'll eventually have people fall away. And that's what Jesus is calling them out for, because they, out of all people, knew the whole Old Testament, they knew the Scripture, and yet they rather were building up their name instead of others, instead of God's especially. And they forgot that all honor and glory should have been given back to God. And they especially lost sight that all earthly blessings are from God alone. And we sometimes can lose sight of this, and maybe, like I said, rank ourselves based off of our social status in life, wherever that might rank. But so the praise then comes not to the one who equipped us to have these blessings, but then it also goes back to us. And so Jesus has equipped us with all these things. He's given us all that we need in body and soul, but it's not just for us. And of course, we do have achievements. So please don't hear me as saying, well, Vicar said, I can't celebrate any achievement in life. Because we do have birthdays and career milestones and anniversaries, and those things should be celebrated. Just like wealth, it can be celebrated, but don't let it be your sole identity. And that's what these scribes were doing, was that it became their identity. That I like going to the marketplace, not because I want to share the word of God, but because I like it when people shake my hand. And they also just like showing off all of their stuff. And like I said, out of all the people, they should have known that these blessings were not an indicator of whether or not God loved them more, but instead, it should have been a sign of, God has blessed me with these gifts. Now I can go and serve people even greater. And they studied the scripture far more than the average person, and that's why this is a great temptation, like I said, for those televangelists and those people that are raised up in the faith, because if they're up here and they love speaking and being in front of people so much and they just start inflating their ego more and more and more and it's about what they say and not the word of God that they are proclaiming, then it becomes a problem. And then it can become about a personality rather than the word of God. And so they allowed their name to be the focus. But Jesus didn't end our text there. He kept going. And I think that's also pretty significant. So right after admonishing these scribes, Jesus also pointed out that widow. And knowing how these money-changing boxes worked, there's just probably a line of people coming in and they drop their money. So she could be right behind these scribes. And who knows, maybe she feels guilty because she can't give more. So this woman, giving all she had to live on, did so because she trusted the Lord. Just like I told the kids, she wasn't doing so to build a name for herself. She knew she had very little, but she knew that the Lord would provide for her, and she had little concern over her status among others. That status, societally, she didn't care if she was high in authority or she's going to make it with a bunch of money or if she was going to be on the lips of men forever. And I think that's also important. Notice Jesus doesn't name a single person here. Their names aren't important. His name is. But their names weren't important. So she's not building this name for herself. But this is what matters the most. This is the big point of this text. Status matters to man, but faith matters to God. And that's what the scribes had lost long ago. They're so focused on this wealth. They're so focused on their well-being and showboating that they lacked their faith. And what I think is actually interesting is if they actually knew the scriptures, they would know that their faith actually gives them a status. It gives them something of a greater status in eternity, a greater status than anything in this world can accomplish. And that's what the widow that Jesus directed attention to showed in her opposite demeanor of the scribes. She approached putting in her offering with humility and lowliness, not focusing on her status, not focusing on a name for herself, but she donated in faith, trusting that she was taken care of. And if the scribes were to have done the same thing and spread the word of God instead of their own, just imagine what they could have done and how many people more might have actually believed in Jesus right away. That didn't happen that way, and that's okay. And so the danger of this text is, though, it's not something about, like, Jesus making a social point that, oh, the rich people are bad and the poor person, oh, she's good. But he's pointing out her humility, of course. We know that. But it's also to show, again, how that relates to our faith. And the scribes could have done this themselves. And Jesus isn't talking about all the scribes. He's talking probably about some of them, not all of them. He doesn't say all the scribes do this. But it's focusing on the status that we earn through Christ's death. And that is greater than all earthly blessings. And no earthly status can compare to what Christ won for us, and the greatest blessing of all. Instead of this foolish trust in our own position in life, and instead of building up everything to be about us, we can recognize that Christ's sacrifice is the most important. And this status is the only one that truly matters. Because when I die, it's not coming with me. If I build up my namesake, what, maybe I'm remembered for a few history books? But after that, I'm lost to history. It doesn't matter. But what does matter is the status given in faith. And that means we should be like that widow, embracing the faith in the Lord. And so the things of this world will never add up to that status received in faith. It will never add up to the richness that we receive in faith. And the scribes that Jesus described got that greater condemnation because they used those gifts contrary to the way he intended them to. And so, in doing so, they're building a name for themselves, idolizing their own personality, and now they've lost their faith. Or at least, if they're not there, they're pretty close. But the widow understood that her status, though poor here on earth, was rich before God in faith. And that is important. She humbly offered all that she had, trusting that the Lord would preserve her until that day. So this is our proper stance as Christians, that we do have earthly wealth, we have earthly blessings, we have all these gifts from God, and we should look at our blessings as gifts, because there's something that we could disappear in a day. Just think of Job. But in faith, we recognize that Christ has made us rich for all eternity. And those earthly blessings that we have are great and should be used with respect to our faith and humility and love. And they should serve as a reminder that Christ graciously lavished us with all of his gifts and his blessings in his death and has made us rich for all eternity. In the name of Jesus, amen.